truly an honor to be able to be here, and I'll, as I organize it, but I remember I started pastoring back in 2014. Shortly after that, Brother McLean had asked me if I would preach at the at one of the pastor fellowships, and I was pastoring a really short time, and I had wondered back then, one, what's wrong with him? And what am I going to preach? These are all new. You know, I'm a new pastor. What am I going to preach? And then several months ago, over 11 years later, I get a text from Brother Alquist. Will you preach? What's wrong with you? What am I going to preach? And I had a message prepared, and I was in a preacher's meeting last week. The Lord has given me a burden for preacher kids. I've been in the ministry for a while now, and that may not be what I preach on today, but the Lord has definitely worked in my life to be able to try to befriend preacher kids over the years and such like that. And I as I was sitting in the pew, I heard a lot of preachers talk about this King James Bible. Brother Schwartz, I was also saved from, I was a Lutheran. And I remember when I got saved, and I got my Bible out, and I started reading, and I'm just tearing through it. It was good news for modern man. Man, it was good reading. It wasn't the Bible. And the person that led me to Christ, which is actually an evangelist now, John Barnes, still in the ministry, he said, Lenny, what are you doing? You can't read that. You have to go get yourself a King James Bible. So I had no idea what he's talking about, but I listened to him. He led me to Christ, and so I go to the bookstore, and I ask him for a King James Bible. And it was an open Bible, which is a method of a study Bible. And he sees me, and he goes, an open Bible? I told you, King James. I haven't detoured from that ever. Never will. But a little bit over a year ago, I had a young man come to my church. 27 years old, and he comes in. Brand new. I don't even know why he came. As far as I don't know if anybody invited him. And I walk up to him during shaking of hands time, and he goes, "So I want to let you know, I'm here." He said, "My dad just passed away recently." He said, "My dad told me before he died, though, I need to get into a Baptist church." So you need to get a Baptist church because they preach the truth. And that same conversation with him, meeting him within 2 minutes, I ended up finding out he's unsaved. He comes back the next Sunday, and he gets saved. And then he tells me, "By the way, preacher, on Wednesday I'm coming, I'm bringing my brother, so you can show him exactly what you just showed me here." And he got saved. Talk a little more about that in a little bit, but I want to be encouragement to you today, because one thing that I don't have it all figured out, but one thing is I know that the ministry could be rather joyous, but can also be discouraging as well. If you have your Bible, and obviously you should, yeah. Psalms 40. Much can be shared from the entire chapter. Today I want to talk to you about just really the first five verses and share different truths that the Lord has given me. And hopefully it's a blessing to you. But in Psalms chapter 40, I'm going to read the first five verses, and I will go back and reread these as we go through it. But Psalms chapter 40, beginning of verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respect not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and wonderful and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more that can be numbered. May I pray? Lord God, I want to thank you, God, for this day. God, I want to thank you for this time. God, I want to thank you for your holy, perfect word. God, I ask you, God, just to just use the words today to be an encouragement. I pray in thy name. Amen. As I was studying, I realized that we don't have a definite insight and realization of why David is right now where he's in a horrible pit and he's in the miry clay. It might be his emotions were getting the better of him as he's constantly dealing with King Saul's jealousy and King Saul's hatred. It might be because he was it might have been during a time that he had his son Absalom rebelling against him. It might even be as a result of a pit that he dug himself as he dealt with the affair with Bathsheba and having her husband killed. Again, we don't know exactly what the reason for it is, though, but this may be an area that maybe you're familiar with. Have you ever, or do you feel overwhelmed right now? Hello? Now, I know a lot of times as us as preachers, preachers' wives in ministry, we don't like to share that. Have you ever felt that you feel like right now you have insurmountable odds against you? You know, sometimes you go to church and you feel like you're really there by yourself, even though there's other people there. And you have you ever felt like you're isolated and you really have nowhere to go? And obviously we know we have the Lord, but from the earthly speaking, sometimes you feel like you have nowhere to go. And I know there's been some times I've reached out to other preachers and I've called on them and I've asked for some advice and they've done their best and they prayed with me. But sometimes the people just say, hey, listen, I have nothing, from the earthly sense, I have nothing to help you with. I could pray with you and I could pray for you, but I have no advice to be able to give you in this area. More specifically, have you ever felt like just like giving up? You know what the Lord wants from you. You know what he expects out of you. You know the Lord's for your will for your life, but you ever feel like just, not doing it? You know, we realize very, very quickly, especially when you're in ministry for a while, it gets kind of lonely. It's not always easy. Now, I will tell you from the perspective of the Tri-State Pastors Fellowship, I moved to Niles back in 2014 in November, and I thought, oh, man, this is, I don't know anybody around here. The pastor that was there before me, he did some fellowshipping, but it was with a lot of guard pastors, and I'm not going to pick on them, but it wasn't the direction I was going to go. And like I said, joking around, Brother McLean reached out to me, and then I ended up creating a lot of friends along the way, though. But people let you down in the ministry. People hurt you. People turn against you. And that's a hard, hard situation when you invest in the people and love on them and love on them and love on them and love on them. And then all of a sudden they turn against you. You know, and you realize just because you're in the Lord's will, just because you're serving the Lord, doing exactly what he wants you to do, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden, that fireworks are going to go off all the time. It's not always going to be fun. It's not always going to be easy. And I remember very clearly, I got saved back in 1984. I'm not going to share really the story behind that right now, though, but I remember shortly after that, I applied to go to Bible college. Like it or not, I'm not asking any questions. I originally applied to Hiles Anderson College, and I was just saved. And I looked at the rules. No. And that's not because Hiles Anderson had bad rules. I was just saved. My family's unsaved. I was taught, live how you want to live, do what you want to do. And all of a sudden, I look at his handbook, and they have standards. And then I go to Vacation Bible School at my church. And this group from Cleveland Baptist, they hold a SMITE program. And they tell me about this college over in Massillon. They have the same rules. But I don't know what God was doing, but he called me to preach. And I knew I had to go somewhere. And I check into it, and I do all the application, and my parents are like, you're going to go to Bible college? What's wrong with you? How much money are you going to make when you become a preacher? That's still a question. But I'm like, I don't know. And I head off to Bible college. Man, was I excited. First time in my life, I got in a car to drive all the way to Pennsylvania, Interstate 80. Oh, that is awful. I think it's 317 miles from one end to the other. And I go to the college. I get enrolled. And I start. They have the rules. Okay. I agree to them. I don't like them, but I agree to them. But the lifestyle was so much different than what I was used to. But I was in the Lord's will, so I'm excited. And the tests start happening. Oh, they didn't tell me about this. And I started asking the Lord, what are you doing? God, I'm trying to follow your will for my life. You called me to preach. I don't even know why you did that. When I was young, I used to skip school if there was a speech. Now you want me to be a preacher. What is wrong here? And man, I was having a time. And the church was having a special service then. We had a big evangelistic service, and where's Brother Manypenny? I know he's here. Amen. Brother Manypenny was preaching that day, and I'm not going to share everything about it. He's heard me. I've already shared this with him. But he's preaching. And I'm listening. He's preaching to the kids. He's preaching to the young people. And God starts working in my life. And I go back to my dorm room. And I'm in the dorm room. And I'm arguing with the Lord. God, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. But you didn't tell me about this. I didn't know it was going to be like this. I didn't realize it was going to be like this. I wanted so bad to leave. No, I knew I couldn't go home. Because I knew I had unsafe family back home. And I knew if I quit. See, I told you shouldn't go there. And if I knew if I quit, they wouldn't get safe. If I knew that I quit, that things would not become different. See, I was in the Myrie Clay. The date was talking about. The Myrie Clay is considered a thick, sticky, muddy substance where you're kind of like trapped and ensnared. And you're in a difficult situation, perilous, tough times. And I'm sitting in my room, and I don't advise anybody to do this, but Lord, I'm going to open up my Bible. And God, if you don't tell me something, if you don't show me something, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know this is not what I'm doing. Again, I don't advise anybody to ever do it that way. And I open Psalms chapter 40, verse 1. And I read, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And I'm like, Lord, how could you bring me to a passage right here? I'm where I'm supposed to be. I have my Bible like I'm supposed to be. And right here, I'm looking down, and you're telling me the word patience? I'm supposed to wait on you? I wasn't taught that. Good night, I'm from New York. the place where they, if they see that the light is about to turn green, they start honking and you move before the light even turns. I'm not taught about patience. You're supposed to start moving ahead of time. Patience. Patience where it plays such a major role in the life of a child of God. It helps us endure without losing faith. It helps us to respond with kindness instead of anger. And it helps to rely on God rather than going through things on our own strength. But David, while in the pit, while in the miry clay, something was happening. But you know, often, we don't wait on God. We act as if, God, you're taking a little bit too long here. God, I'm not so sure you know what's going on here. Maybe I need to kind of give a shove here a little bit. God, I'm not doubting you, but I know what needs to be done. I know what's up. But David, again, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Over in Psalms 27:14, it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. I say, wait on the Lord. In Psalms 37:7, it says, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his ways, because a man who bringeth wicked device to pass. But now keep in mind, though, when we wait on the Lord, and we're waiting on God to guide and provide, waiting on God to answer and direct, patience is not defined by how much time we allow to pass. Sometimes people consider that patience. Patience is defined by what we're doing while we're waiting. And a lot of times we don't have that figured out. We might know, but we forget that a little bit. And again, David said, he cried to God. He cried to God. Now, some people never really get there, though. But when a person cries to God, it's not the tears. Although I do know, tears is an important part, though. I remember when I first got saved, and I started praying. I said the word Lord a lot, and I cried a lot. And I had some people say, Lenny, you say Lord too much when you pray, and you need to stop crying so much. So I took the word Lord out of my prayer, and I asked the Lord to help me to stop crying. He answered. That wasn't a good spot to be. Lord, please give me the tears back. God, help me be able to cry again. God, I don't want to cry too much, but God, if you're working in my life, I ought to be able to cry here. And again, you know, and when we're crying unto God, it's an area to where we need to be able to let our heart out and be able to let God know, and we need to be able to be real with God. You know, but a lot of times that doesn't really, really happen, though. You know, I'm going to be transparent here, and not an easy area, but several years ago, I have a brother that was threatened to kill me and my wife. When I was young, he's 8 years younger than me. He's like my best friend in a way. When I left to go to Bible college, I cried because I didn't want to leave him at home. And all of a sudden, one day, I get a phone call. And he drops an accusation against me. And then he starts calling my cell phone over and over and over and over. He starts calling the church over and over and over and over. He starts calling other churches, and he starts calling businesses, and he's threatening to kill me and threatening to kill my wife. And it's demonic possessed all over the place. And I remember being so weak, and I remember one time I go to the college and I end up preaching, and I preached as best as I could, I prayed as much as I could, and I remember getting off the pulpit and just about wanted to pass out, did not even know what to do. And I remember there's some times where I get with my wife and we have to pray, and physically the words could not come out. And I remember relying on my wife to grab a hold of the throne of God and say, God, please help in this area. God, please be able to help and step up. And we would pray for God's defense. About 2 years ago, I get the phone call that the very same brother that was unsaved and wanted me dead had died. Not even sure if it's suicide. And David, not only did the Lord hear him, not only did the Lord bring him out of the horrible pit, the Lord reached down from heaven above. He set him upon set his feet upon the rock and he established the goings. Again, I'm not sure what brought him to this point, but I know where he was. I know what we read. I know what the Word of God says right here. But now, all of a sudden, God is, so to speak, giving him his work in order. God has delivered him. God has refreshed him. God has equipped him. God has established his going. Over in Psalms 37:23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." And this may very well be a place that a lot of us have been. God has given us his direction. God has given us his purpose. God has showed us his will. But then all of a sudden, the hard times come. And all of a sudden, it's not so much fun. That just might be for some here right now. But God, I'm right where you want me to be. But it could be lonely. All of a sudden, you get the phone call. You get the text. You get the letter. Where is? And it's not that you stopped loving the Lord. It's not that you fell into sin. At least, hopefully, that's not the case here. But delight means to find great joy and pleasure. It means it was soft and pliable in God's hand rather than being hard-hearted. And there's probably some here that delight, at best, is a stretch. Well, God called me to it, so bless God, I'm not going to quit, which I believe in. But delight? No. But when you wait on the Lord, when you wait on the Lord, David said, in verse 3 as we read, "He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. When I was studying, I originally wanted to preach a message. It's good to be saved. Many of you probably have heard that song. You know, but I know that one day when God reached down from heaven above and he saved my soul, I knew when I got saved, he gave me a new hope. And I know he gave me a new song. You know, I remember really clearly. Now, again, I know a lot of people do not see this side of me, but I'm actually a very quiet, shy person when I'm not in the pulpit. And there's actually not humor in that. For those that go to Fernwood Christian Camp, now the teenagers, you see me as loud and weird, and I pick on them and everything else. But when I first got there, I was very quiet, and I did not like to talk to people. But I remember this day, February 1st, 1984. I remember going to my best friend's house. I remember going into his house. I remember going into his sister's room. And I remember kneeling down alongside inside the bed. He had already witnessed to me. He had already showed me all the verses. That day, I didn't go there for him to show me the Bible. I didn't go there for him to show me. I needed to know how to pray to accept the Lord as Savior. That's not an area that I ever had. You know, I did not understand. And so all of a sudden, he shows me. And I remember, and I get saved. And I had to go to work that day. I was a cart collector. From New York, we don't call it buggies. So if you call it buggy around here, there's something buggy about you. But I had to go to work that day. And I'm out in the parking lot. King Cullen, a grocery store in New York. And I remember that day, I'm out in the parking lot. They had no idea what happened, but all of a sudden, I am literally running through the parking lot, collecting carts. They probably wonder, what is happening here? Why is this guy collecting carts? And I'm pushing the carts along, and every once in a while, I'd stop, and I'd go, well, amen! And a little bit later, I'd go, whoa, glory! And other times, I'm just yelling, and I'm having this Baptist-Costal fit, if there's such a thing, without compromise, and I'm just so excited. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, I have this song that's within my heart, and I remember going home after I get saved that day, and I go talk to my stepmother. Now, I am just barely saved, just a few hours. I have no idea how to show somebody from the Word of God. But I go home with this new song in my heart. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. And I try to tell my stepmother how to be saved because there's a song right there. And maybe you're that point in your life where you have that song, but yet it's not so easy to be able to come out. And God has reached down and He took you out of the horrible pit. He took you out of the miry clay and He established you going. And when God lifts you out of that hard time, maybe He shows you how He can use you. Maybe He shows you how a life has been changed. Maybe He shows you a person that God saved. Maybe He reminds you of past victories. Maybe He refreshes your burden and He refreshes your calling. Maybe He reminds you, child of God, I'm not done with you yet. I praise God. I have a man and a wife that's in my church. My church, back in May, celebrated their 60th anniversary. There's a few others, but there's a man and wife that have been there the entire time. He started to have a little bit of dementia. So he's talking about stepping down as a head trustee, or stepping down as a trustee. I told him, brother, God's not done with you yet. Do what you can do. Don't do what you can't do. 99% of the time he's at every service. He's there all the time. And that's exactly how we ought to be, though. You know, again, you know, realize that God still has a will for each and every one of us. Now, I know sometimes when we're younger, we don't necessarily see what's going to happen later on in life. Sometimes God might change that will. He may all of a sudden move you a little bit here. But again, you know, when we see God working in our life and we see God's got a purpose for our life, isn't that not reason for us to be able to rejoice when all of a sudden we see how God is able to use us? Again, he said, he had put a new song in my mouth and even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know, I remember back when I went to college, Kenny Chapman used to say, your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And he would say that, and I'm from New York. I'm like, that's a tongue twister. I can't even say the first word here. But he would say that, you know, and he would preach on the truth of that. And I remember all of a sudden I'm in college, and I hear a brother, Terry Wire, teach on, and if some have compassion, making a difference. I'm like, that's in the Bible? You got to be kidding me. That's in the Bible? You know, and if you're a child of God, and if you have a burden, and I realize in the ministry, you know, it's not always easy, but it's definitely not an endurance race. Did not Paul say, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Now, a little bit ago, I told you about a guy that came to my church about a year ago that led to Christ. About 5 months after that, 5-6 months, it's Christmas time. And I'm in the hospital. I had congestive heart failure. I'm scared to death. Not afraid about where I'm going. Afraid about what's happening. And I'm in the hospital, and I remember the Lord working in my life and working and God using me different ways. And I remember the Lord talking to me. And then after a little while, I get out of the hospital. And very quickly after getting out of the hospital, I get a text message from a person that I love. I'd invested into, somebody that told me many times, Pastor, I'll have you back. Pastor, I'm here for you. I'm gone.
I'm leaving. Not talking about it. I'm gone. That's discouraging. And I deal with the Lord. I deal with the Lord. And Lord, you know what it is. Just a couple days later, I get a text from the young man that I led to Christ. And it's a picture of 12 King James Bibles laying out. And we're texting back and forth. And he's telling me, Pastor, for Christmas, I wanted to let my family know that I got saved. I wanted to let them know that I'm a little bit different now. I wanted to let them know. I wanted them to be able to realize. And I figured no better way to be able to do this than, you know, just give them all a Bible. Let them just know right here. And then he says, and Pastor, one of them was a cousin. And he started asking questions, what's different? And he started asking questions. And he said, and Pastor, I want to let you know, I led him to Christ. And I'm looking at my phone. I said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? He said, Pastor, you remember how when you led me to Christ, you took the Romans road and you led me down the Romans road and I prayed and I got saved. All I did is exactly what you did, and he got saved. Well, if that type of stories doesn't give you joy, if that doesn't get you excited. Now, I was still not happy about the member that I lost. I was still not happy about the loss. But I said, good night, Lord. You got a will and you got a purpose. And Lord God, you give me joy unspeakable. And God, I'm full of glory. God, you gave me a song. Verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respect not the proud, but not such turn as out the lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee, for I declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. This is the very David that was in the horrible pit in the miry clay. This is the very David that was obviously in a hard time. This is the very David that had waited patiently as he cried out to the Lord. Now, he's not talking blindly. He's not just putting a smile on his face, as we like to do. He's not just going around declaring, I'm good. He's testifying of the goodness of God that he's living out. He knew by experience that the very men that trust God and he waits on God, he knows by experience that this is the blessed man. And David takes it a step further. Not only is the blessed man to wait on God and trust God, if the blessed man is going to remain in the hand of God and have the very God that loves him so dearly, he also respected not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. Doesn't Psalms 1:1 say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the way of sinners, nor sit in the way of the seat of the scornful. But you see, the proud person, they like to look down at other people. What do they have to offer? I remember back when I first went into a full-time ministry, Brooklyn, New York. There was a man in our church, he's in heaven now, his name was Larry Danziger. He looked like he was homeless. Didn't seem like there was much to him. Every day he committed to go into the city and hand out gospel tracts and witness. And he sang for the Lord. And he saw people saved. Because when he talked to him, he was going to chase them if they said no. He was going to follow them here. You know, but a lot of times, you know, they look down on people. You know, a lot of times a proud person is going to display a critical spirit. You know, it's really easy, even us in the ministry, to point out the sins and flaws of other people. And you know, with a person that's proud, you don't dare approach them about something they've done because they're not going to admit it. They're not even going to apologize here. You know, and a proud person, they'll share their accolades. They'll tell you, hey, I've been in the ministry here, I've been a deacon this long, I've been, you know, and they can share all of this all day long, and they can say, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And a proud person can be very unteachable and defensive. But again, you know, when I share this, lest we get prideful, that's no longer just happening in the pew. That's happening in the pulpit. In the last couple of years, I wish this isn't true, but I know of several preachers fell bad. I'm not talking about just stepped out of the ministry. Remember, not that long ago, I got a phone call. This person just went to jail. This person's being inspected. You know, I remember many years ago, I was working for a church, and I borrowed the pastor's car, and out of the sun visor of the pastor's car fell a piece of paper, and had a lot of bad innuendos. I'm just barely out of Bible college. My pastor is 25, 30 years my senior. And I remember taking this and going to my pastor, thinking, this is backwards. You're my leader. You're my counselor. Pastor, what is this? You know, I know it's wrong. I know I shouldn't have it. But honestly, another preacher gave it to me, and I thought it was kind of funny, so I never got rid of it. No, no, you allow pride get in the way. No, when it's wrong, get rid of it. When it's wrong, don't even let it in your mind. Get rid of it. Turn away from it. And unfortunately, again, that's why so many people, so many preachers are starting to quit. They allow pride to get away and pride to get away. And they take their eyes off the Lord. And they allow their mind to go where it ought not to be. And they start stepping where they ought not to be. And it's real easy to preach, don't go here. Stay away from it. Then why do all of a sudden some of us at times, preachers, that we know what's wrong, we end up there too? It's because we took our eyes off of where we ought to be. But praise the Lord, though, David said, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts were to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than could be numbered. Back in Psalms chapter 8, verse 4, David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? David's dwelling on the greatness of God, the God of all the universe. And he's absolutely amazed that God would even think of man at all. And here he again, he's amazed that God would even think of his people as he does. That God would actually love his people as he does. I was studying and I started thinking, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he can love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And David is basically saying, God, your thoughts towards your children are so loving. God, your thoughts towards your children are so amazing. God, your thoughts towards your children are so bountiful. God, it's so incredible that even if I tried to list them, and even if I tried to do that, you know, I couldn't even be able to list it. And let me tell you, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how the ministry is treating you. I don't know how rough things are right now. But I do know that nothing slips through the hand of God. And I do know that every single time that I've been in a situation, that God, why? It makes no sense why. Sometime later, not all the time, but a lot of times later, God says, you remember back there when you were doubting me and I was working a plan and I was doing something and you didn't understand why? But now you can use this. Now it can help you and it strengthen you and it's encourage you. Now you can be able to share it. And that's the very reason at times we like to think, he's able, he's able. I know he is able. I know the Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted. He set the captive free and he made the lame to walk in and he caused the blind to see. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts thusward, they cannot be reckoned up in order. If I declare and speak of them, they're more than they can be numbered. Now I realize when we're discouraged, we don't always see it. Sometimes we don't always understand. 2 weeks ago, I had a couple show up in church that I'd never met before. They were saved in my church. The man was saved in my church over 40 years ago. To best of my knowledge, he's been out of church for 40 years. And he tells me who the pastor was, how he got saved, and he shares. But you know, a lot of the times, God works, and sometimes we don't see, we don't recognize. What about when you have a child visitor come to your church? Now maybe he's not going to be the next pastor, the next missionary, the next Sunday school teacher, but maybe he's just going to be in a faithful servant that's going to stay in your church. You know, what about when all of a sudden, now this has probably happened to a lot of you, when all of a sudden you have an adult that's in your church, that's been in church for a long time. Pastor, I finally decided I'm going to start reading my Bible every day. Many other wonderful works. What about the person that comes to church with a walker or a cane, barely making it in the building, when a lot of people, for a lot less reasons, decided they want to stay home, and all of a sudden they say, despite the ailments, I'm going to be there. You know, what about, you know, the elderly person that says, Pastor, or whoever you are, I'm praying for you. I want to let you know I pray every single day for you. Well, you know, what about the young person that loves the Lord and wants to learn? Do we just write things like that off? It's like it's no big deal. You know, what about the person that doesn't have much and they put extra in the offering plate because they know that some people are not? You know, what about you when you realize that God knows everything about you? He knows your thoughts. He knows your attitude. He knows everything, but yet he still loves you and he still wants to be able to use you. Is that not another reason to be able to say, God, it's good to be saved? You know, I've shared on many occasions in my church that this last Sunday, I looked at the front row, four of my granddaughters were there in church. Now, they live over an hour away. They're not able to be there. I remember back when my son was born, like most parents, say dada, say mama. I won. I remember hearing dada for the first time. I loved it. With my daughter, born 5 years later, I won again. I remember my first granddaughter one day in church. She stands up on a Sunday night and she points at me and she goes, Granddad! Man, I felt good. Now they've changed it to Papa. But I know I absolutely love when I get to talk to them. My kids always say, I love you. My grandchildren say, I love you. And over the years, I've had a lot of names. I've been a boss. I've been, you know, I've been a coach. You know, I've been a friend. But out of every name that I've ever had, is child of God. And the Lord from above says that I'm his child. You know, and if we try to stop and list all of the wonderful things that God has done for us, there are more that could be numbered. But why not try? Why not try? Discouraged? Get the list back out and start thinking about what God has done for you and what God is doing. You know, maybe it's my church right now is being purged. Not problems, just God's doing something. And so I have to tell myself, Lord, help me to examine you and realize what you're doing for me. Let me pray. Lord God, I thank you, God, for this day. God, I thank you for all that you do. Lord God, I hope and pray that, God, that what you've given, God, was just what was needed. Lord God, I ask you just to bless the rest of the service. Lord God, we thank you again for all that you do for us. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen.